Good morning. This is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with Sam Hazelton. It is Sunday morning, and we hope that you are getting up and getting ready to get to church. If you're still in bed, you got time. It's Christmas Eve. Christmas is tomorrow. You've heard of Elf on a Shelf. How about you in a pew? Get to church. Get to church. Okay, good morning. This is Old Lion, Young Lion, and we are a new show on WPTR every Sunday at 9:30. And Sam and I, we are members of the pastoral team at Electric City Baptist Church, also known as ECBC. And we are located on Hamburg Street in the heart of Schenectady. Our address is 2350 Hamburg Street. And we meet every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. and various times throughout the rest of the week. And this new show, Old Lion, Young Lion, is a show that is on the radio and is meant for a very, very important purpose. And we here at Old Lion, Young Lion work for the greatest lion of all time, and that is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. We also know that Jesus, like the lion that's the king of the jungle, is the greatest king of all time as well. Here at this show, we take on the responsibility of uncovering truth and declaring it boldly. The Bible clearly teaches us that the righteous will be bold as lions, and that's exactly what we intend to do, is operate boldly like lions, an old lion and a young lion. Now, something we do here at this show, and we'd ask you to partake in this with us, this Merry Christmas Eve, this Sunday morning, we'd like to ask you to just pause with us for a second, and we are going to open up the show with a word of prayer. So I'm going to ask my brother Sam here, the resident old lion, would you mind, Sam, opening us up with a word of prayer for the show?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be on the radio with Anthony here, and we have such a great time doing this. Lord, I ask that you would be with us today as we open our mouths. We know that your word never returns void. We ask that you'd give understanding to ourselves as well as to everyone within the sound of our voice. We pray that each one of us would hear your word, and we'd be doers of the word as well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And we pray a blessing over you out there that's listening as well. We hope that tomorrow you have a wonderful Christmas with your families, and we hope that you understand that Jesus really is the reason for the season. God bless, and we've been so excited about what's been happening on the show. If you've been following along, we've been uncovering what we've deemed the cosmic drama. And what's been happening is, unlike any other historical or religious text, the Bible actually traces history all the way from the beginning through today and then ultimately into the future. And the Bible is a statement of fact. It's a book that can be taken as true from page one to page done. And we kicked off in the first 2 weeks talking about major Bible characters, starting with the very first page all the way up until what we got to talk about today. It's been a great ride so far.
Yeah, and we've been peeling back the curtains on this cosmic drama, and also just zooming in a little bit, showing you some detail, and zooming out to get the big picture. And so we'll be doing more of that today, and I'm very excited about today's broadcast, because we are covering the most important character in this cosmic drama, the Lord Jesus Christ himself.
I'm really, really excited about this. It's going to be awesome. And if you are just now joining us, we're going to be talking about Jesus today. It's one of the favorites here on the show.
That's right. And so I just want to recap briefly what we've covered so far. And so we started in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He made this beautiful garden. He put Adam and Eve, our first ancestors, our first parents, all the way back in this garden. They were innocent. There was no sin. There was no disease. There was no death in the world. And yet there was one rule in this garden. You can eat of any of the trees of the garden, but you shall not eat of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for in the day you eat of it, you shall die.
And Sam, you know what? We recognized that the same temptation and situation that was presented to Adam and Eve in the garden is presented to us all the time. We recognize that God has an intention and a will that he wants to unveil in our lives, and we have an opportunity to choose right or wrong. Same exact as Adam and Eve.
Yeah, and so our first parents, Adam and Eve, were in this place where they had innocence, and through their disobedience, that innocence was lost. And the truth is, every single one of us today, if we fast forward all the way to the present time, every single person walking around, the Bible says this in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
At first glance, that's such a heavy thought, but what a wonderful grace it is from God, a gift from God, to write it in a book and give it to us.
So, right, in the story of Adam and Eve, we see as soon as humanity fell into sin and death, God made a promise in Genesis 3:15, and he said, he was speaking to the serpent, and he says, I will put enmity, that's hatred, between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And we learned that the woman's seed was this mysterious offspring, that this Messiah that was coming far in the future, and that this Messiah was going to crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent was going to bruise the heel of the Messiah.
Well, this, yeah, exactly. And this cosmic drama, this story that God is writing. And by the way, you kind of have two choices. You can decide to fall in love with his story, or you can choose to write your own story. And I guarantee you that you won't like the outcome of writing your own story.
Mm.
But right in the early pages of Scripture, this kicks off, and we learn about this prophecy in Genesis chapter number 3. We learn about our forefathers, Adam and Eve. And then we roll on to a new character. We see Noah and Noah's Ark, and then we run into this character, Abraham, which we learned about. And then we came to King David, and the same prophecy and the same storyline, the cosmic drama is still unfolding through these characters.
Right. And so Abraham, he was a man of faith. God called him to leave his family. And God said this about Abraham. It said, Abraham believed God, and God credited to him, or counted it to him as righteousness. And so here we learn, as part of this story, not number one, that the Messiah is going to come through the family of Abraham, and number two, that those who are counted righteous or in right standing before God will do so because of faith, by believing what God says.
And I love that. I think we find throughout the entire story, what we find is that God has a perfect will and a perfect desire for an outcome to come. But what he uses is imperfect and unrighteous people that walk by faith, not by sight.
Yes, yes, indeed. And we come to another character in the story that we covered last week, the fellow named Moses. And everybody knows about Moses and the Ten Commandments. Moses, his life kind of exemplified two things. Number one, he was a representative of a deliverer, he was kind of a type or a representation of the future Messiah to come, where he led the whole nation of Israel out of bondage. They were in slavery and bondage in Egypt. As a deliverer, he led them out. And so likewise, the Lord Jesus that we're going to find out about today has led each of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus comes as a deliverer. He delivers us out of the bondage to sin and death, and he sets us free. And so just like Moses. And the other thing with Moses, of course, is he's associated with the law. We all know the Ten Commandments. And so this law that came, you shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal. All these laws that God gave, it's very similar to what happened in the garden with Adam and Eve. Just like they were given the one rule, now there's 10 rules for humanity to follow.
And you might be out there today thinking, wasn't that just some old book? Well, in one sense, yes, that's true. But in another sense, it speaks to universal and eternal truth that you and I today are also under some rules that God has set in place. The Bible says that every one of us recognizes that the law of God is written on our heart. And so the same confrontation that Adam and Eve had with the law of God, the same confrontation that Moses brought to the children of Israel, the law of God, and the same thing that David brought when he gave the people the law of God, you and I also face that there is a law of God, the law of our conscience that tells us the things that are right and wrong, and we must decide or we must interact with and we must respond to that law that's been placed on us as well.
Yes, and Moses is a bit of a tragic hero because here this law came. But the problem with law and rules is that they can only make you wrong. The law can't ever make you right. They can only the rules and the law can only make you wrong, and thereby Moses, at the end of his life, God had chosen him to deliver the people of Israel out of bondage. They spent 40 years in the wilderness, but Moses never got to go into the promised land because he represented the law. The law cannot get you into heaven. It can only keep you out of heaven. And so he was a tragic hero in that sense.
And his story unfolds and the cosmic drama marches on. And so we have each one of these kind of footprints of these characters that keep showing up. And in the background, the world of men and women are desiring and wanting for this prophecy, for this Messiah, for this chosen one to show up. And it's not Adam, and it's not Noah, and it's not Moses, and it's not Abraham, and it's not King David.
That's right. King David was another one. He's this innovator, introduced worship into God's temple. He wanted to build a temple for God, but God came to him and said, hey, I'm going to build you a house, and oh, by the way, this Messiah who I've been promising, he's going to be one of your descendants, and he will sit on your throne forever.
And you might not know this. This is a little bit of a Merry Christmas trivia, that the baby Jesus that we celebrate each year on Christmas is actually the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson of the King David, the King David that killed Goliath, the King David that ruled over the nation of Israel, had a great, 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 great grandson, and that is baby Jesus.
That's right. That's right. And so in the scripture, the Old Testament that we've been talking about and all these characters find, there's so many prophecies about Jesus, the one, the Messiah, the main character in this cosmic drama who we're going to talk about this week. And so there's some prophecies that are in there. I think somebody counted 365 different individual prophecies in the Old Testament that were all fulfilled during the life of Jesus.
Wow. Wow.
And it's just phenomenal. One of them is that in Isaiah 7:14, it says, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called Emmanuel."
Sam, there goes the book again being all prophetic. So you're telling me there's a prophecy that says a virgin shall conceive a son that also comes off the shoulders of the prophecy that says from the seed of the woman?
That's right. These work together, and this one was in Isaiah 7:14. That was 750 years before Jesus was born.
Wow.
It was predicted that he would be born of a virgin. It's also in the Old Testament book of Micah, one of the prophets in the Old Testament, Micah, in chapter 5 and verse 2, it says that Jesus, the Messiah, would be born in the town of Bethlehem.
And you've heard that song, "O Little Town of Bethlehem." The reason why we sing that is because it's celebrating where Jesus was actually born.
Yeah.
One of the reasons why we love the Bible on this show is not just because it offers us an insight to life. It's not only because it gives us some wisdom to live our lives by, but what it also does is when it prophesies something, no matter the amount of years later, it comes true. And each time you're going to find, as you study the Word of God, time after time after time, it gets proven true and true and true. And here it is again. It prophesies about the birth of a baby by a virgin in the town of Bethlehem. And then who shows up? Jesus, born of a virgin in the town of Bethlehem.
Right. And so this is the arrival of Jesus. And here we are. It's Christmas Eve.
Right.
Guys, I just want to note that here we are 2,000 years later. And this Christmas and Easter, these are kind of the biggest celebrations that we have. And I know
it's a big deal.
I know the world has kind of gone after commercialism. The world has kind of gone after other things besides faith in Christ. But we have to recognize Jesus split time.
Split it right in half. Split it right down the middle.
So you got BC. What does that stand for?
BC, before Christ.
And you got AD.
In the year of our Lord.
That's right.
This is an interesting thing that anyone out there that thinks that this might be some kind of myth or something like that, our calendars, our days, our times are based off the very, very, very first Christmas.
So it's kind of hard to deny.
It's very, very difficult to not deny. You know, there's an interesting thing, Sam, in regards to the prophecies about Jesus' birth, is one might think that Jesus just only ever shows up in the story of his birth. But what we actually find in Scripture, and this is marked out in the book of John, chapter 1, verse 1, is that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what we actually find out is that that Word of God is Jesus, and he's been here since page 1.
Right, and God created the world through Jesus. This happened 4,000 years before his birth. So he's been there in fellowship with his Father from the beginning of time.
And I think it's an amazing piece. I think also in the book of Micah, it says that this Messiah to come, this Lord to come, his ways are from everlasting.
Right.
But then we get to the New Testament, we see Jesus' birth, we see the story of Mary and Joseph and the manger, we see the picture of the nativity scene, and we see all of that wonderful, peaceful signs of this Emmanuel, God with us to come. But sometimes we do forget that this Jesus was the one who created the world. There's a passage of Scripture, and we should know for this show that the book of Colossians is my favorite book of the entire Bible. And this is what the book of Colossians says. He says, "For by Jesus were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Jesus and for Jesus." The Bible continues on with this incredibly powerful passage that, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." It closes out the chapter with this, that in all things Jesus might have the preeminence.
So here's Jesus. He's born of a virgin. He's born at the right place, at the right time. He's not born of Adam's seed. He's the seed of the woman. He's not tainted by the curse of sin like the rest of humankind. There's something special about him. And so Jesus is life, and we're just going to very quickly go through here. But if we read in Acts 10, verse 38, it says this, "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him."
I think that's so great. Sometimes we kind of miss a point of Jesus' life. He went about doing good things. And Jesus shows up on the stage, the Son of God. And what does he do? He goes around helping people that are in need, and he goes around teaching people truth.
Raising people from the dead, healing all who are sick.
I love this story. There's no way that one show will be able to talk about all the things about Jesus Christ. But if you haven't experienced a truth about Jesus, if you haven't heard his story, if you haven't heard the words from Scripture that tell us about the Son of the Most High God, Jesus Christ, if you haven't heard about who he is, I urge you to look into it. I'm standing here on the radio right now, and I'm asking you to go and find out about this wonderful Jesus who was born on the very first Christmas. He lived a perfect life so that we could be made free.
Yeah. So here he lives this perfect life, and the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 11, that he came to his own, and his own people did not receive him.
That's right.
But you would think for a minute, and some people wrongly imagine this, that Jesus was, you know, this good person, and he was just completely blindsided, and they tricked him, and they captured him, and they killed him, and it's this horrible thing that happened. But the truth is, in John, the Gospel of John in chapter 10 and verse 18, it says, Jesus says this, talking about his life. He says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father."
Wow. So again, let's just take a look at what's happening in the background. We've been using this term called redemption, and the way that we define redemption is that God fixes broken things. So we know that in the world, we have men and women that are broken. They're hurting. They've sometimes turned their back on God. They've done things that are wrong in their life. They're looking for answers. And God sends his Son. And he sends his Son to lay his life down on a cross. Not that men could take it, but the hero of our story is unlike any hero that there ever has been or there ever will be. He is not a hero that is only just out here for his own glory, for his own seeking. He comes because he loves us and he lays his life down for us.
And so you have to ask the question, why did Jesus have to die? Why did he have to lay that his life down?
It's a good question.
And so here we have a situation where all of humanity, all of mankind was under sin. We were all guilty before God. Everyone has gone his own way, the Bible says. We've all, like sheep, gone astray. And so we all have this guilt of sin, this weight, this debt, if you will, that we owe. And we could not possibly pay it. And so you have a principle that you find throughout this cosmic drama in Scripture where there's something called a sacrifice. This is the innocent dying for the guilty. And wow. You see it throughout Scripture.
Wow.
Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus came as this sacrificial lamb, the innocent, the perfect, dying in the place of the guilty. We did the crime. He did the time.
And I think that on Christmas Eve, we should not just only think about the manger scene. I think that his life and ultimately his death, but you know, there's the best part of this whole story. It's better than everything else that we've talked about so far. It's better than every character that we've seen in any part of the episodes that we've showed before. And Jesus's birth, his life, and his death. But then guess what happens? And as we all know some of this story, that Jesus on the third day rises from the dead. He has death at his feet, and he's holding life in his hands to give to all who believes. There's a passage of scripture in the book of Acts. I think it's Acts chapter number 2. In Acts chapter number 2, it says this. You know what? I think we should just read this passage. Old line, Sam, here. Can you grab Acts chapter 2? And I think, I don't know the exact verse. What verse is that?
Acts chapter 2, verse 24 says,
you read that.
God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it.
Death could not hold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Death could not hold him. Oh, death, where is your sting? Because it is not here. I absolutely love the culmination of this historical cosmic drama that shows up in the person and work of Jesus Christ, who tells all those that are hurting, all those that are in sin, all those that are in need of redemption, and for God to fix them that are broken. Jesus says, death could not hold me.
He was the author of life.
That's right.
The death cannot hold the author of life. The Bible says that the wages of sin, what you earn for your sin, is death. But Jesus, he never sinned. He was not subject to death. He died our death for us and then rose in power. And he rose in power so that we could have a new life.
That's right. And I think the story that started out in Genesis chapter number 1, Adam, the Bible tells us that we were all in Adam. In the sin of Adam, we had this corruption to us. But now by one man's obedience, this Jesus Christ who laid down his life, we can all be given life, not death. We can choose life, not death.
Right? So this death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ accomplished two things for us. First of all, it paid our debt in full. It wiped out the ordinances that were against us. It wiped out all of our crimes. Like with a big eraser. The Bible says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our sins from us. And the second thing that the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus accomplished, and particularly the resurrection, is it transformed us to walk in newness of life. Whereas in sin, in Adam, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. In Jesus Christ, by believing in him, we receive his life. Our spirit becomes alive. We all of a sudden have a relationship with God that we never had before.
Now, you may be out here and you're listening to this show and you're saying, you know what, old lion, young lion, I want that life. I want what you're talking about. The Bible says this in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible goes on, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The passage ends with this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Who knew it could be that simple?
Call upon the name of the Lord. If you're lost and broken in your sin, you're looking for a way out on this Christmas Eve, the way, the truth, and the life is Jesus Christ. And he says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Yeah, maybe you could make this the best Christmas ever. And we like to celebrate the baby Jesus, but we have to understand that the reason he came, he was on a mission to save all of humanity.
And we appreciate you being with us today, and we want to be clear, this is not a political show, this is not a music show, this is not a show that's about your hobbies or some political pundit show. This is a show, Old Lion, Young Lion, where we seek on purpose and intentionally to uncover truth and speak it boldly. We'll be happy for you to stay with us on this journey as we continue on. This is the Young Lion and Old Lion signing off. God bless, and we hope you have a Merry Christmas.
We'll see you at church.